The scripture reading will be taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness.
We are grateful for all of you being back here this evening. We're going to study a lesson tonight that relates to, it's tied to this passage that we just read just a few moments ago. And as we think about our walk before our conversion to the Lord, we know that we, all of us, each and every one of us, had a different way of living. It wasn't the same as we do now. So we were in the world, of the world, and that can vary, you know, depending upon how you were raised. But it's not exactly the same as it is now, because there's a transformation that takes place. The Apostle Paul wrote of that in Romans chapter 6 when he talked about being baptized and how that you are buried with Christ in baptism. You're raised to walk a new life. The new life that we're living now is going to be very different. You know, normal when you are in the world is not normal when you're in Christ. There's two different, totally different ways of living. And as we go through our lesson this evening, we're going to be looking at some things as we think about the new normal. Because in Christ, we are going to be extremely different from the world. We're going to be living a life that sets us apart. In fact, the world is going to look at you as a Christian and think you are abnormal because of what you do, how you live your life. It's not going to be the same. But that's exactly what they thought of Jesus. However, that was a good thing. When he came on the scene in the first century and he began to teach, they said, never a man spoke like this man. He was not normal in a good way because he came with power. He came with evidence of his claims that he is the Son of God. And he came and he transformed this world and gave hope to all of us. But we must be like him. We must be willing to be abnormal to the world, but normal in the eyes of God, so that we might be saved. I'm not interested in being normal according to the world standards, because that's being lost. I'm interested in being normal according to God's standard, because that's where salvation is. Walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Tonight, as we study together, we're going to be looking at these three points. We're going to ask the question, what is normal? We're going to look at some scary abnormalities, and then we're going to talk about being a normal Christian. Being a normal Christian. So let's think about this question. What is normal? So let's define the word. The Oxford American Dictionary simply says this: conforming to a standard, usual, typical, or expected. So something that is normal is what usually is with the case with that thing, or what is typical with that thing, or what is expected of that thing or person. The Cambridge Dictionary says, in defining the word normal, ordinary or usual, as would be expected. So as would be expected with some things may not be as would be expected with other things, right? So the point is, there are all kinds of normal depending upon what you're talking about. Now think about normal observed as we look around us. So in the natural world, you look at animals, right? You look at dogs and you see what dogs do, and what is normal for a dog is not normal for other creatures, right? Some things that a dog does, other creatures will not do those things. And of course, that's true with people as well. You see normal behavior in people, physical behavior in people, and you see then when someone is doing things that is not normal, and that stands out. Someone walking down the road and you see abnormal behavior, you think, are they on drugs? Is something? Because you see something that stands out as being different from normal behavior. Back in the Old Testament, you'll recall one of the great kings of the ancient world, Nebuchadnezzar, he was told by God through the prophet Daniel that he was about to lose his kingdom. He had been puffed up with pride, and what was it that was going to happen to him? His behavior was going to change. It was going to be extremely altered. And in Daniel 4 and verse 33, it says, that very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. So Nebuchadnezzar, as he normally was, changed, and he was very different from his normal behavior, so that he was like an animal in various ways. And that stood out to people. Now, you think about what we observe as normal behavior then in people spiritually. And there are differences of behavior, very different behavior. And for example, when the Apostle Paul went to the city of Athens, the Bible tells us that he got to the city of Athens, and it says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. So here is a city, and the whole city is filled with idolatry of all sorts. You can go to places, and if you go to countries of the world where they are pagan in their practices, you will see idols in lots of different places. You will see small little idols in businesses. You will see massive idols in the temple areas. But you can go to places that are given over to idolatry. But you know what? In those places, that is normal. That's normal. That's to be expected. That's typical. But being normal in some cases is also being lost. It's being corrupt. It's being far removed from God and His holy ways. That's why Paul was moved. What was normal in that city was for people to be doing things far removed from God's will, and it was going to cost them their souls. And Paul wanted to try to reach them that he might save them. And thus, when we think about the child of God, there is behavior that is normal, and then there is behavior that is abnormal and that should not be present within the child of God's life. So let us think about some scary abnormalities. Now, in our fleshly bodies, we know of things that stir fear in the hearts of men. The big C word, right? You don't want to be diagnosed with cancer. Cancer is a group of diseases. What does that involve? Abnormal cell growth with the potential to invade or spread to other parts of the body. So here you have an abnormal occurrence within the body. Certain cells are reproducing and things are happening that are not according to the normal process of the body. And it can result in all kinds of physical problems. It can even result in death. People are afraid of that. What about autoimmune disease? Here is a condition arising from abnormal immune response to a normal body part. So essentially, your immune system can begin attacking your own body. That's not normal. That is far removed from the expected, typical bodily function. Have you ever heard of teratoma? A teratoma? This is a tumor with tissue or organ components. So here's a tumor, and within that tumor, there are things growing that are typically found in other parts of the body. In fact, teratomas have been reported to contain hair, teeth, bone, and very rarely more complex organs or processes such as brain matter, eyes, torso, hands, feet, other limbs within this growing teratoma. That's strange and unusual, right? That is a scary abnormality. But think about the spiritual side of our lives. These abnormal conditions of the body are much more serious when you apply that idea to the spiritual man, because spiritual abnormalities within the Christian are scary because they're life-threatening. So what if the body dies? All bodies will die, right? All of us are going to be faced with death. But spiritual death is eternal. Physical death is brief, and then you go on to the hereafter. But in this physical, or in this spiritual walk that we have in this life, we know that there are things that are fatal. Paul describes some of them in the book of Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. What does he say? Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Here's why these are scary abnormalities. These are not things to be found in the life of a Christian. A normal Christian, that is, someone who is walking in the footsteps of Jesus, does not demonstrate these things in his living, because that's not Christ-likeness. That is not walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And it's scary because if you do those things and you persist in those things, Paul says, you have no part in the kingdom of God. You'll lose your soul. It's a fearful thing to be abnormal as a Christian. But the tragedy is sometimes we want to be normal according to the world standards, because we don't like being different from the world or different from those who are living worldly lives. And they can even be people in the church that are not walking with God. And then we feel odd or different because, you know, if we're going to walk with the Lord, going to stand out, and we're not going to be the same as everybody else. Now, this problem, these abnormalities, can be cured. And that is the good, hopeful message that God gives us in His Word, despite the fact that, yes, these things, we see them in the congregations of the New Testament. These abnormalities among Christians were present, but Paul says these can be dealt with. They can be cured. Of course, initially the heart has to be receptive. If you want to fix the problem that is going to separate you from your God, that reality, your heart has to be receptive and say, you know what? I'm going to have a clear picture of the reality of the future. There is a judgment coming. I'm going to be held accountable for how I live my life. One way leads to heaven, the other way leads to hell. I'm going to do something about the path that I'm on. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at some of these verses that we read just a moment ago. And as we think about what Paul writes here, he's describing, beginning in verse 17, the way that the brethren are needing to be reminded of the fact that they shouldn't live as they once lived. This I say, he says, therefore, in verse 17, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. He describes their darkened mindset, their distance from God, the spiritual ignorance and blindness that they had, and how they lived their lives in verse 19, lewdness and uncleanness, greediness as well. But he says, you have not so learned Christ. This is not the way of a child of God. You didn't learn to live this way when you learned to walk with Christ. It's just the opposite. He says, what are you to do? How do you deal with this problem? What is the solution? Verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Here are these desires, and they're appealing. And everybody's doing them, so we say, everybody's doing them. but they are deceitful desires because they're going to lead you to destruction. They have the picture of pleasure presented, but behind that pretty face, the desirable thing is the death and the destruction and Satan, who is working that lie to deceive you into being enticed to follow a path that's going to cost you your soul. Is it worth it? Is the trade a good one? We think about what the Lord says here. Turn away. Put off the old man, which grows corrupt. Do what? What is the solution? Verse 24, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Holiness is the idea of separation from what? You're talking about separation from the darkness of this world, ungodliness of all sorts, and being set apart for God's holy purposes, living a pure life, dedicated to discipleship, following Jesus and all that he did. Paul then, notice what he does in the next several verses, beginning in verse 25. Here's contrast over and over again. Therefore, what do you do? Putting away lying. So do you want to cure the spiritual abnormality? Are you living in such a way as to be abnormal? You're not living the way a normal Christian should live? How do you fix that? If you're lying, put it away and let each one of you do what? Speak the truth with his neighbor, for we're members of one another. He says in verse 28, let him who stole steal no more. Do what instead? But rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. So there's a transformation going on. You go from one way to the opposite. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Don't speak profanities, filthiness, all these things that are ungodly. Instead, what do? Speak what is good for necessary edification. What is edification? Building people up. Are your words tearing people down? Criticizing people, making fun of people, being hateful toward people? This is not normal if you're a Christian. He says you cure it by replacing it with all the good. He says in verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then do what? Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So he says, put all off this stuff, this garbage, because this is abnormal for a Christian. And then you replace it with all this behavior. It's normal because you're to be walking in the footsteps of Jesus. It's like him. That is normal behavior for one who is a child of God. In chapter 5, if you notice verse 8 down through verse 11, for you were once darkness, but now, what does he say? You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. This is what you used to be now. Here is what you are. You're in the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So now you turn from participating and having a part in all of these ungodly things, and now you don't have any part of it. Instead, you shine the light on it and say, this is all contrary to God's will. It's all ungodliness, and you separate yourself from it. You expose it. You point out to people, this is what it is, and you have nothing to do with it. That's normal behavior for a Christian. But let's continue with that idea and talk about, as our final point, being a normal Christian. What is normal for a Christian? For a Christian, being normal is being like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's being one whose character is like his, whose behavior is like the Lord's, whose attitudes and actions, whose words and thoughts are disciplined to fall in line with the Lord himself who died for us. But here's the thing, being a normal Christian takes a great deal of courage. Because if you're walking in the footsteps of Jesus, as we see the disciples of the Lord did, it is going to require the strength of character and determination to do what is right, no matter what happens and where it leads. we have in Acts chapter 5, the occasion when the apostles of the Lord were taken by their enemies and they were put in the prison, verse 18. They were released from prison by an angel and told, verse 20, go stand in the temple and speak to all the people, or speak to the people, all the words of this life. So verse 21 tells us they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. The high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison securely shut securely, and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. God had released them. They found them where? Verse 25, standing in the temple, they're teaching the people. So the captain goes with the officers, brings them without violence, and now they're set before the council once again, verse 27. And they're told, verse 28, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. What have they done? Just what is normal for Christians to do. They did the Lord's will, going out to teach. Now, what happened to them is also normal for a Christian, because we're told all who would live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, Paul told Timothy. Now, if that's normal, and they were following the normal procedure and suffered the normal response, then what do we today need to think about in regard to this? That normal behavior for a Christian is going to be very different from the world. It's going to put us in situations where people are going to be angry with us. People might even threaten us. In some places, your life could even be in danger. But that's normal for a Christian, because that is precisely what happened to our Lord, and it's what we're taught we should expect. These men then, when they are threatened, respond, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than man. You see, it's normal for Christians to live their lives seeking to do God's will, to not be moved by this world and its influences, to not cave into the pressures around us, but instead to stand strong and to be what God wants us to be in the face of even strong opposition to the point of death. These men knew that the very kinds of individuals here, these religious leaders who took them, were the ones, the kinds, who put their master to death. But they were acting consistently with normal behavior for a child of God. It takes a great deal of courage to live differently from the world. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, listen to this. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, since he did this for us, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Be like Jesus in your mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Peter is saying, here is how you're supposed to be as a child of God. Don't continue to live for the desires of the flesh. That's not normal for a Christian to do that. He's showing us the proper behavior for one who has been saved by Jesus Christ. He then says, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in, how did we live? In lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. You know, this is just typical worldliness, he's saying. All the things that the world glamorizes on television, glamorizes in the garbage music that's on the radio, all of this type of thing, they set it forth. This is the fun life. This is the great life. Peter says, this is not the way a Christian lives. You got to put all of this behind you. We spent enough of our past lifetime doing these things. And what is going to be the response of the world in regard to these? They think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. So, you live as a Christian in school. You live as a faithful Christian at work. you are going to be different from the world. And there will be those who speak evil of you. They think you're strange. They think you are abnormal. But in fact, though you are abnormal by the world's standards, again, this is a beautiful thing in the eyes of God, because you are acting the way one will act when he is following the Savior of this world, when he is seeking to imitate the Son of God, when he is conducting his life in the normal way that one does, when he has been saved from his sins, separated from the world, and made a holy vessel unto God. That's how we're to live our lives. It is not an easy life, but it's heaven or it's hell. Isn't the choice clear? The Bible tells us, yes, the road to eternal life is traveled by few, but it's the path that leads us to the side of God. Many, on the other hand, walk according to that broad way that leads to death, to destruction. We must not choose it. Being a normal Christian requires knowledge, because you have to know what true Christian living is in order to live that way. When Paul was urging the brethren in Colossae to put to death their members on the earth, to get rid of practices that were ungodly, that were essentially, he was saying, a part of the old man, he also told them in verse 9, Colossians 3, beginning of verse 9, do not lie to one another. Why? Since you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in what? In knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. You see, the knowledge that we gain from God's word shows us the way that the new man in Christ is supposed to live. If you're going to live as a normal Christian, you have to have the knowledge of what is normal for a Christian and see it starkly contrasted with the ways of the world and see the distinct difference so that you can choose what is right. Don't you want to be saved? Don't you want to avoid eternal damnation? The Bible says where there is weeping and there is gnashing of teeth, where the worm does not die, it's a place of outer darkness, a place prepared for the devil and his angels, where torment is never ending. We've got to make the choice to live the normal Christian life and to be okay with being abnormal, strange, different, peculiar to the world. Because you're in good company when you live that kind of life. Those who live that kind of life are the saved. Those who live that kind of life, when Jesus returns, are going to be caught up in the clouds to meet him and be with him forevermore. If we're concerned about fitting in with the crowd, we need to change our thinking, because the crowd is the majority, and the majority is lost. You don't want to be among that number. Being a normal Christian is, in fact, following Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, and beginning in verse 21, down through verse 25, he describes for us the way in which we ought to live. It's the Christ-like manner of living. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, notice, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. This is the normal Christian life, dead to sin, alive to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Let us remember that as a Christian, our life is really to be all about walking in the footsteps of Jesus, You know, there's that little saying that came about, I don't remember when it was, but, you know, the what would Jesus do? That's a good question to ask ourselves as we go through life. Whether we're young, whether we're old, is this something that the Lord would do, would say, would think? Is this right and proper Christian behavior? Whether it's in school, whether it's at work, whether it's among family members, whether it's out with, you know, friends, whether wherever we are in any situation, are we walking in the footsteps of Jesus? Because that's where we need to be. That's what a normal Christian life is all about. As we've studied together this evening, we've talked about what normal truly is, looked at some scary abnormalities in the Christian life. These we want to avoid. We've talked about what it is to be a normal Christian. That is a beautiful thing in the eyes of God, because being a normal Christian is being, in the eyes of God, as much like His Son as we possibly can. And that is precisely what God wants us to be. He sent His Son into this world. He offered His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. And you tonight can be like Him. When you begin the Christian walk, it starts with faith. It's followed by that turn from sin, repenting of our former way of living, and determining we're going to live for the Lord, as we've talked about tonight. A confession that is made with the mouth, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the willingness to be immersed in water, that baptism or submersion, immersion in water, it's where we bury the old man forever. Because the one who comes forth from the waters of baptism has been cleansed by the blood of Christ and is to begin to walk that new life, the normal life in Christ. Are you prepared to live that life? Do you desire to live that life? Are you ready to be different from the world? And if you're a child of God already, are you living as one who has been cleansed? Are you keeping yourself cleansed? Are you resisting the pull of the world and making sure that you live that distinctive Christ-like life? If you need to come home and return to the Lord, you can, as we stand and as we sing.